your love, your grace, your mercy that you extend freely to us that we do not deserve, but we are grateful to receive. Lord, as we again talk this morning about what we're doing here, about discipling one another, fellowshiping with one another, we pray that your presence would be in our midst, that you would bless our conversation, our discussion, and we would go forth edified, equipped to do the work of the ministry. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Good morning. You'll notice, for those of you who are here last 2 weeks, that we're not split up into groups. And this happened for a couple reasons. Number one, because we had a pretty big swing from 24 the first week to 40 the second week, which means we have potentially two groups to potentially four groups. And so that changed up the dynamic a little bit. And also by recommendation from a couple people going, maybe we should just hold off just a little bit longer, get some of those group leaders in, have conversations about what we maybe would expect and this, that, and the other thing. So we're going to hold off for 2 more weeks. At least that's the plan right now, for 2 more weeks. And then probably next week what we'll do is we'll have a general idea of what group you'll be in. And then when you get here in 14 days, you'll know where you'll just start out at. I hope that makes sense. So today we're going to kind of continue this this discussion on what we're doing here in this morning time, what we're doing here in this morning time, but also what discipleship is in general. So last week we talked about the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, right? Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded, and I will be with you until the end of the age, right? So that's the Great Commission. This is what we're all called to, and what we're endeavoring to do here in this new time that we have is essentially we're trying to train ourselves or give ourselves an opportunity or a place to train ourselves to do this thing, right? And so we split it up into kind of two general categories last week. We split it up into we want to share the gospel, go and make disciples, and baptize, teach people, tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say the gospel of John, right? It's the same thing that John is doing in our study in 1 John, right? John writes the gospel, gives the message, and then he goes, okay, now what? Okay, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, his letters, this is what we're going to do. So that's, in essence, then the second part, teach them to observe all that I commanded, okay? So we make disciples, and then we teach them how to follow Jesus. It can be assumed at times, I believe wrongly assumed at times, that just because you are in part of a church means that you get it, right? You understand everything, and especially for those in this area, we do not live in an unchurched area. It's becoming less and less churched, but we don't really live in a place where if you went and asked 10 people on the street, have you ever been to church? They're probably, most of them are going to go, yeah, I've been to church. I go to church. I went to church as a child, right? So we're all people, or maybe not all, but many of us, many of the people within our communities are people who have a concept or an idea, and then maybe they come into a relationship with Jesus and you're going, okay, well, I just expect that you know what you're doing. I just expect that you know what it is to walk in the ways of Jesus and so on. And so we talked last week about, well, how do we do this? How can we maybe train each other or train people? And we used the example of talking to a coworker. Okay, we're talking to a coworker at lunch. We use that as an example. We kind of kept coming back to that. How do I do it? Practically speaking, how can I teach somebody else? And we talked about listening. We got to listen to each other. We got to listen to the people who are training. We got to be listened to as people who need to be grown and cultivated. We need to ask good questions, be willing to ask questions, be willing to say, you know what? I don't actually know the answer to that question. Let me go ask somebody else. Talk about sharing our testimony, what happened in my life, and let me show you how that happened, and that changed me, and maybe encourage you, sharing our gifts with each other, reading the Bible together, studying the Bible together, even if we don't have all the answers, we can still grow and cultivate through all of that, right? So that was what we talked about last week. This week might seem like a relatively hard turn, but I'm gonna defend my relatively hard turn by saying I think that fellowship is critical to the idea of discipling and discipling each other and being discipled. It's a necessary part. Obviously, if you think somebody else needs to teach you, there is some level of relation that's going on, but I believe that it's bigger and broader than just me and another person, okay? So fellowship, this is a verse that you all have heard me say. You've all heard it over and over and over again. We've kind of used it as a method to test what we're doing here at Christ Church. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you have your Bibles, you can go there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, our temptation is to parse these things out. Okay, our temptation is to go, let's divide these things up and say, okay, apostles' teaching is whenever we study the Bible, and then prayer is over here, and this is something that we do separate, right? There's a posture to prayer. We kneel down, we fold our hands, we go into our closet, we close our eyes, we do all these things, and that's the only time that I'm praying. Fellowship is its own little thing. Eating together is its own, like, and we break these things up, and we try to say that they're for completely separate things, when we have to go, no, all of these things are intimately tied together and actually impossible to completely separate. Okay? Prayer and the apostles' teaching is a great example. We've been talking in the prayer meetings that we've been having on Wednesdays, which now have come to a close here. I think Rob maybe is going to continue that. Is that right? Are you going to continue the prayer meetings? So if you're interested in being a part of that, go talk to Rob at his house, I believe. But one of the things that we talked about over the last couple weeks is we have this idea of prayer as being that posture, right? We, especially those of us who grew up in the church or who grew up even in more conservative churches, we go, okay, well prayer is getting down on your knees, you know, folding your hands, closing your eyes, and taking X amount of time to dedicate yourself to that activity. And that is prayer, certainly. That is prayer. But if we take a step back, we go, okay, well, what is prayer? Well, prayer is a conversation between me and God. It's communication, it's communion with God. And so if I then go, okay, well, if I read my Bible and I understand that the Bible is the Word of God, contains the Word of God, and I believe that God speaks to me through the Bible, then when I read and study the Bible, I'm actually engaging in prayer. Okay, and so many of like the church fathers and big important people through church history, that's one of the main things that they talk about in their prayer life. My prayer life is my study life. It's the same. It's combined. It's together. And this is very important. So in the same way that we say that, we have to then go, okay, well, fellowship becomes something a little bit different. It's easy to think that fellowship is that extra benefit to the life with believers. Fellowship is this extra thing that I get that is something that I'm going to maybe take or leave, right? I come to church, that's great. I sit in the pews, that's wonderful, or the chairs. We don't have pews. Some of you maybe don't even know what pews are, but the point I'm trying to make is that fellowship is not just this extra thing, but it's a principal thing within the working of the church. And there's a number of reasons for this, and those are the questions that I want to ask. But let me just give you the one main one. In order for us to actually engage with each other and know what we need to be offering and giving each other, we have to get to know people. And you just simply cannot get to know people without being with people. Okay, so if you look at the rest of the book of Acts, and we're not going to actually do this, but you could take the book of Acts, and I would encourage you to do this. You take the book of Acts and just read through it, go through it, find out that again and again and again and again, what we see in the book of Acts is this reoccurring phrase: they were with one another, one another, one another, one another, one another, one another. They were together. In fact, I would go as far as to say that, as far as my recollection goes, okay, maybe I've missed something, there is not a time in the book of Acts where a believer is by themselves. There's not a single time in the book of Acts where believers are by themselves. And if there are by themselves, it's not on purpose. And it's a detriment to their experience. We look at, okay, let's take fellowship, but let's also look at breaking bread. We make this second, this additional thing that we do. We're having a meal after worship service today, after worship hour. I'm very excited about it. That's breaking bread together. That's wonderful. The early church didn't have a meal once a quarter whenever we had fifth Sundays, or didn't have a meal every once a month. They quite literally lived together in such a way where when you entered into the church, right, when you entered into the community of believers, the expectation was, okay, every night at dusk, we're going to get together. If you read Philo or Josephus, who are early Christian historians, or early, in the case of Josephus, he's Jewish, but early historians who talk about the church, one of the things that they talk about is that they quite literally were together all the time. They were together every single day. And so when we talk about communion, this is one of the things they were doing. They were fellowshipping with one another each and every. So they would go to work and they would come home. They would gather their things and they would go to the patron's house, the house of the person who had money and where the church actually was. And they would eat a meal together and they would talk about their day and they would talk about what was going on and ask the questions that we all need to be asking each other. We go back to this. Let's take one more repetition here because I think it's important for us to repeat ourselves. What we're doing in this time is we're trying to train ourselves to walk in a relationship with Jesus. But one of the assumptions that Max and I and the idea of this, one of the assumptions that we're trying to make is that we don't have the answers. Like we, as in us as individuals, we all, y'all, right? We don't have all the answers. We might have some, I might have some, but I don't have all of them. And I need everybody here. But I can't get your value into my life. You can't get my value into your life until or unless we're willing to kind of step into each other's lives. So let's do the same thing we did last week and let's ask the question, go into question times. What is fellowship? Maybe in a broad sense. Let's ask that question first. I was going to give us our multiple questions. But let's add that in a broad sense. I've given you kind of a overarching definition. You can repeat what I said or you can add to it. What is fellowship?
Living life together.
Living life together. Yes. How does that practically look?
Messy.
Because
it improves disagreements.
Yes.
It's not political. It's not smelling roses together.
Yeah.
It is wrestling with things. It's arguing. It's late night conversations.
Yeah.
It's 4 a.m. text messages. It's not pretty.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because we're not pretty, right? We're messy and broken and one of the things that I'm going to talk about in with Psalm 130 today is that we have this perception of how we're supposed to come to God. And we're going, I want to make sure that God sees me as I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be perfect and holy and righteous, and so I'm only going to come to God with my perfect, holy, righteous. And God's like, you're not fooling anybody, right? You are a mess. God knows you're a mess, and he wants you to come to him in the mess. And that also means that we come to each other in the mess. I'm broken and flawed and unholy, and I get frustrated and annoyed, and you get frustrated and annoyed. And if we can share together, you can look at a relationship with siblings, which is what we're called. We're brothers and sisters. I love my brothers and sisters, but there are times over the course of our lives together in the 34 years that we've been siblings, we've fought. And sometimes that fight was of value, and other times that fight was not of value, and it was kind of just a mess. But all of that then makes you go, and now I have a relationship with my brother where I can go to my brothers and sister, but my sibling, and go, hey, let's talk about this. Let's actually get down into the nitty gritty. I now have a let's call it a right to speak into their lives, and they have a right to speak into mine. And that takes time. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So perhaps we say it this way. We come into fellowship with this idea that if I don't come into fellowship right, perfect, then I can't come at all. And so I either stay away, or maybe, and I don't think this is what you were saying, but let me add to this. Or we come into fellowship with this idea that I am actually good and right, and I'm going to make everybody else better, and I'm going to tell you what you did wrong. And so let me ask a question off of that thought. Let me ask a very leading question out of that thought, right? Is it better, okay, to come to a person and say, look, I'm broken, I'm flawed, I'm messed up, I need your help to help fix me. And then that leads into, hey, you're also broken and flawed and need help. Or is it better to go to that person and go, you're broken and flawed and need help? Answer the question. Somebody's got to, yeah. Obviously the first one, right? If you've heard anybody, if anybody's ever spoken into your relationships, if you're married or if you just have relationships, if anybody's ever spoken into your relationship, what do they say? Use the I words, right? Use the I words. I feel, I'm hurt, I'm this, I'm that, right? Because it softens the conflict. But if I'm attacking or if I'm critical, if I come to Max, I go, Max, you're such a blockhead. He's never going to hear anything that I say. Even if he is a blockhead, right? He's never going to hear anything that I say. Max, you're not a blockhead. Love you. Yeah, there. Yeah, see that? Okay, let's take this. So living life together, let's take that concept. Living life together. What are some, right? So last week we used the example of sitting down with a coworker and sharing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, that's a very specific situation. Okay? Besides Wes, there's no other coworkers in this room. And so for me to share my story with you has to look different, right? Does that make sense? So there's obviously a literal infinite number of ways that we have to learn to share our story, share all of the stuff that we talked about. Yes, we use that very finite. So let's get practical, and it's okay to be very fixed and finite. What are some ways that we fellowship with each other? What are the ways, let's start with this. What are the ways that we're used to, what are the ways that we're used to calling fellowship? Wow, that's a hard sentence to say. What are things in the church that we call fellowship? Eating together, serving together. So we're going to have a meal today. That is fellowship, right? Right, serve together. That's fellowship. What else? Missions. Yes. The meal groups small groups, meal groups, where we're in somebody's house. Side question. Are you more comfortable here in this church or at your own home? At your own home. No. In any way, shape, or form. Those same people, you're with people, but you're here or at your own home. It probably depends on the people. That's a good point. Maybe some of the people you're like, I'd rather meet you at the church, but wherever there's barbecue. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know that there's a number of people who are part of the meal groups that Chris referenced, and not everybody is in various reasons, but there's, right? And one of the things that is every single time we've had it is the conversation is when are we going to get together, right? What day works? And it's three or four couples at the most, right? And you're like, this is impossible. Missy, at one point, she was like, there is literally no day in April that works for everybody. That it's hard. It's hard to go, hey, does this day work? And then one person says no. Okay, well, does this day work? And this day work? And this day work? Like, it's just a constant effort and work. And it, and that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Is it worth it? In the end, as a follower of Jesus, is it worth the effort? And for many people, we say no. Right.
Get value from, or
right.
Validation, or
yeah. Yeah. In the end, we as believers go, fellowship is value, right? We say that as a general statement. And I think that there's scriptural basis for this, that being with other people brings in Christ, being with other people in Christ brings value to us. But unfortunately, being with other people necessitates being with a bunch of sinners who are broken and flawed and have their own agendas and don't always have Christ's agenda. And that can hurt, and not just hurt in a way that's like misunderstood, right? Like we can go to church, we can look at especially for those of us who grew up in church, right? You can look at people who have been hurt by the church. And there are times when you say, I feel like that's unfair, right? You're not offering the grace back. And so you need to maybe check that or challenge that. There's certainly those times. But there's also certainly those times when you're like, no, that was horrible, right? That pastor was manipulative and crushing and harmful. Those people, or the people in the church, did not serve you and did not treat you well and condemned you for whatever. Like, there's certainly truth in both of those statements. And that's why it becomes, I think, even more important for us to fight for it. Because in the end, we have to trust God's provision. We have to trust that God knew what he was doing when he set this need up for us. Because it is a need, right? We've heard stories of people who survive isolation. But that's always how we describe it. That person survived isolation. It's often a humorous like image to show the middle-aged man on an island with his wife, and then some shark comes up and eats his wife and flies away, and he's, yeah, I'm no longer, you know, like, that's garbage. That's not even remotely true. It might feel true in a moment. We might go, yeah, I do want to be a hermit. I do want to be in isolation forever. And then we experience isolation. Even the introverts in the room experience isolation, and there's some filling to that, but we inevitably need humans, other people. It is built into, it is one of the very first things about our character. You are created in the image of God, and the image of God is triune. It is relational. And so we need each other. And yeah, it can be hard and irritating. And I look at my siblings growing up, and I've shared this, and I don't have any quarrel saying it. If Paul was in the room, or Brad was in the room, or Jen was in the room, who are my siblings, for those of you who don't know, if they were in the room, I would say the exact same thing. They picked on me mercilessly. Paul picked on me mercilessly. And I didn't like him for that. And I have the closest relationship now with Paul than with anybody else. We are a close family. And that's a blessing that I respect, whatever. But I think some of the reason why we are close is because of that testing. Because of that struggle. We have this mindset, and we're gonna find out over time if this will always be the case or if this will just partially be the case. But I'll probably often talk about what I'm gonna preach about whenever I lead discipleship hour. And now I actually lost what I was gonna say. What was I talking about? We were talking about conflict. We were talking about struggle. I was talking about struggle. We have this mindset, right? We have this mindset that financial gain is always a blessing and struggle is always a curse. But when you look at the scriptures, it's the opposite, right? Like almost entirely in scripture, if there is ever a mention of struggle and hardship for whatever reason, whether it's your own, whether it's because you made it yourself, whether it's because it was a situation that has been put upon you, whether it's because the world is attacking you, that struggle is for your good. Now, it doesn't have to make it good, right? We can resist the goodness of God in the struggle. But that struggle is by God's design to shape and to challenge you and to grow you. And that prosperity, right, we as American Christians, particularly, that prosperity is always considered a blessing. And we just ignore and do a little jig around when Jesus says, hey, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven and go, well, but my riches aren't the same. Oh, that's garbage, right? We go, well, it's a gate, and so the camel had to, no, I don't think so. Might be, but what are we doing, right? Fellowship is, in fact, hard, but it can then yield the best benefit. Okay, what else? It is easy to do the things that are easy. It is hard to do the things that are hard. Right. That's a sacrifice. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a silly one, but seriously, yeah.
Right. 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 And you used, and maybe you didn't use them on purpose, but those are all kind of relatively silly examples of the differences that we have in our life. But we all kind of go, yeah, I don't know, or I won't, or, and I do, I'll just keep. But what changes in those four couples? What is different about the relationship that you have with those four couples than with anybody else? What history, but what happens in history? What do you gain in that longevity of a relationship? Mm-hmm. That create vulnerability, trust. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
immediately, a friend from high school. If I see him, I mean, it's like we haven't, it's like we've been, you know. And a lot of that, like Wes said, is because we sat and played a video game for 8 hours and didn't say a word to each other, right? You know, like just simply being present with each other. We have this concept of, you know, and we see it most clearly whenever somebody's going through a loss, right? And when you go through the greeting line, the reception line, and what does every single person do? Everybody's like, okay, I gotta say something that's gonna fix it. And we give them a Bible verse, or we shake their hand, or we go in, or even go, hey, I'm praying for you, and we go, that's gonna fix it. No, it's probably not, actually. Probably what it is just simply, hey, I care for you, and so I've given up some of my time to be with you in for even just a second, even just a moment. Now, let's go to a realization, okay? There's probably 40-ish people here this morning again, okay? Can you have that relationship with everybody in this room? Probably not. Maybe. Maybe you can be close with people like that, but you're probably not. And this is one of those difficulties. One of the things that we're trying to balance, right, with our effort, right? So, like, we're really going to press getting to the small group kind of setting. Like, this last week, I was just so excited about the engagement from the big group, right? Because one of the things that we talked about is maybe there's going to be people who aren't going to share, who aren't going to talk. And this, the engagement so far this morning has been great, and you're talking, but not everybody is, right? So we're hoping that we can maybe press down a little bit and we can get a little bit more. Maybe coax people out of the shell a little bit. It's in essence what we're trying to do. But, so we are going to press that. But there is a reality that you're just not gonna, right? But again, what we can do with that statement is we go, okay, well, if I'm not going to connect with everybody, I probably should then just give up on it entirely. And what we need to be doing is we need to be going, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to really push in on this. And I'm going to, as much as I can, as far as I can, I'm going to press myself into this and be vulnerable. Be willing to be the person who says, hey, I need you guys because you need each other. We need each other. We need to have that relational aspect of our walk with Jesus. And we see this with the disciples.
Years and not know the first people.
And there's one thing, I agree with that entirely, and that's what the effort is, right? That's what we want. And at some small level, we're going, okay, I'm gonna be a little bit vulnerable because I think that there's value, not only in other people getting to know me, but me being an example for you to maybe come up and open up or whatever. Here's something that I'm glad happened this way because I was hoping it would happen this way. You'll notice that throughout this conversation, we actually didn't really talk about fellowship around a study of the Bible. Now, I'm actually going to say something that probably won't sound like a Ryan statement because I'm very much like, we need to be in the Word, in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. We find those deep relationships. Certainly we can find those deep relationships studying the Bible together. And I'm literally never going to say, don't study the Bible together. But fellowship in itself is a goal, right? To actually create relationships to where we can grow deeply and intimately together. And if that is alongside of devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, devoted themselves to breaking bread, devoted themselves to prayer, what we find is that all of those things flourish as a byproduct. Fellowship doesn't have to be tacked on to reading the Bible, is what I'm in essence trying to say. Now, in this scenario, here, it is. But as I've been saying and will continue to say, one of our main encouragements to the group leaders is going to be put in the work and get together outside of this situation. Because you're really not going to grow that deeply together here in 3 months, right? You're just not. And so going, hey, let's go bowling. And just hang out and be embarrassed at our terrible bowling skills. And let that cultivate the relationship and deepen your walk with each other. And then that can flourish into a growth in other places. Okay, out of time. Every time I clear my voice, that's super annoying, but every time I clear my voice, I fog up my glasses. And so I... Two notes. Yes, it is. Sorry. Thank you, Chris. what was I saying? Oh, Wes. We're out of time. For those of you who have children, what we're asking is as you exit here, go get your kids up to what grade? What grade did we say? Up through second grade. If you have anybody second grade and younger, go get your kids, get them from the teachers so that they can kind of transition, they can go to the restroom and take your kids to the bathroom so that we can try to eliminate some of the kind of running around bathroom times. Yeah, what was the other thing? There was one more thing in that kind of... If somebody needs to go to the bathroom, they can go to the bathroom, but...
And in Sunday school, we're going to encourage, like, a set bathroom time for the whole class. Obviously, if there are emergencies or your kid has special, like, needs special permission, but we're going to try to encourage some bladder training so that's just not a constant circulation of kids.
Yeah. But, so, we are going to do our best at stopping at exactly 10:15. So let me close this in prayer. Thank you again. Next week we'll meet again like this, and then the following week we'll put some of these things into practice. Father in heaven, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name for your goodness to us. Lord, we recognize that we see an example of this fellowship, this desire to be with each other in the person Jesus as he was walking on this earth and was with his apostles and with the disciples and really even, Lord, with people who disagreed with him, who challenged him and pressed upon him and eventually, Lord, put him to death. That relationship, that effort that he gave is an example to us to seek to grow and to build each other up through this time that we have together. We pray that your presence would always be the catalyst, the seed that would flourish within us, that would grow within us, that would cultivate and tend the value that we can see in the Scripture in the fellowship that we commit to, that we devote ourselves to, that this effort that we put forth would not be in vain. And we know that it's not, because your Scripture teaches us that it's not in vain, but it can be a struggle, it can be a trial, and we're willing to put forth that effort and that work to see the beauty of it. Lord, I pray that you would bless the rest of our time together, bless our service where we sing and worship you. We focus on the heart of the worshiper, bless our time as we eat together and fellowship together, and then be with us the rest of this day and this week. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name. Amen. Thank you. An extra 2 minutes.